Well, greetings and salutations, one and all, to the one and only Career Retrospectives right here on the Super Review Show Network. I am joined by the esteemed panelists, the panelists and music aficionados themselves, Kyle and Mike. What's going on, guys?
Hey, what's up?
Yo, how are we doing?
We're doing well, my friend. So anyways, as the title of our podcast suggests, alludes to whatever, it lent the wheel after we reviewed Dream Theater last week, because the album came out in February. Our wheel landed on Narnia, the Lion, the Witch. I'm just kidding. It didn't land on that. It landed on Narnia, the Course of a Generation, which was Mike's pick from the wheel. It has the same title as Narnia, but just bear with us. But we're going to get right into it, shall we? So, Mike, this is your pick. I mean, as a first-time listener for me, what do you got for this album of Narnia's Course of a Generation?
Yeah, so I have a long history with the band Narnia. I've been listening to them for many a year. I probably would realistically started listening to them in the early 2000s. I'd say like maybe even like 2000 and, you know, like 6, 5. I really kind of love their music. They've just kind of, I've always brought kind of a majestic epic feel to a lot of their songs and started in that direction with a attention to the melodic side of metal, but it's not straying away from some of the more heavy and thrashy kind of stuff. So just hailing from the land of Sweden, you know, Narnia had originally set off with one thing in mind, you know, bringing that power metal experience filled with the focus on the melodic approach to the equation, remaining true to some of the groovy 80s inspired riffs, you know. And they really like dipped their toes in the more modern sound as like time went on. So as like albums progressed, they kind of just, you know, focused and bridging the modern side and the 80s side together to kind of not go too far to one direction, but also just, you know, incorporate some synths, some thrashy stuff, you know, some groovy stuff. Overall, it just kind of like really upped the notch in this album, I feel, in the modern side. And they remain true to the Narnia sound. So, minus the appearance of like their longtime frontman, Christian Liljegren, who was the original vocalist of Narnia. He's been the guy for every album. This is the first album, I believe, that he departed from the band. And I believe his name is German Pasquale. I could be saying it in German, or I don't know how he says his name. But he took over. I had never known who he was. And he's handing the vocal duties on this album. And I think his change-up really added a dynamic, more of a gritty, soulful note to the band's sound that I think was a really well-needed thing. And I do love the original guy, but this guy really had some interesting takes on vocals. And it's just a great example of great songwriting, riff-focused, fast, and rhythmic heavy metal. So, I'll get right into it. Sail Around the World's an 8 and a 8.5. It's just an opening, you know, the opening of it. It's actually funny. The opening is a cross between Black Sabbath's Iron Man and literally the melodic keyboard from an In Flames song. Like, literally, it's identical. I don't know if the band was doing this as a joke. But overall, this is a good opener. 8.5 straight up. It's got a very catchy chorus, and it's got some intricate keyboards over top of the shredding riffs. I just really enjoyed that first song. And then we move on to When the Stars Are Falling. This is it's just a 9 out of 10. Amazing chorus. I love how like they put those synths over top of the hard hitting groovy riffs, and I think that's my key kind of note here. They're doing a lot of things that like you do in power metal, but they're taking the modern sound and they're kind of balancing it out. Whereas like you listen to a pure power metal record, it's really one-sided with a lot of the scales and the, you know, not more of the heavy production, heavy tone on the guitar. And this album is like kind of reversing that usual direction, but still keeping some of those elements there. Carl Johan Grimmick, the guitarist, he's absolute virtuoso guitarist. His solo project is really good too. So 9 out of 10 for that one. Move on to A Curse of a Generation. 8.5 out of 10. This is just a laser fast thrashy song. It's got some neoclassical kind of stuff going on in it. You know, with the synths and but it's got that 80s inspired blends as well. Great chorus. And that's something this album has no short of, massive choruses throughout it, sing-alongs. It's just good message. I mean, this is a Christian band, so you know, for all you out there who are wondering about the vocals, lyrical content, it's a, you know, it's not blatant in your face Christian metal. It's live by life, inspired by faith kind of music. Whereas like Kyle's made many a comment about you know, Christian lyrics being just too preachy or too in your face. This is definitely not that. You know, and it rarely ever, like, you know, beats you over the head with anything, but it's not afraid to mention God or anything like that. Then we move on to Scared, one of my favorite songs, got stuck in my head. 9 out of 10 for me, just an emotional, lyrical, super relatable song. It just got stuck in my head again, and just varied. I like the varied flow of the song. It does kind of slow down a little bit and then pick up again. So I don't mind that in a song, as long as you're able to do them well. So then we move on to Kings Will Come, 10 out of 10. This is actually one of my favorite songs on the album, which means it's Kyle's least favorite song. Note the time, note the date. Kyle hates this song, folks. I just wanted to fill you in on that. So, yeah, absolute banger. I love the layered rhythm guitars over top of the lead. If there is something I could say is my, you know, if you really want to know the key to my heart in metal, it's taking a lead guitar melody and putting it over top of a rhythmic kind of chugging harder groove riff at the same time. Like, that is literally heaven for me, or orchestras and metal. I mean, that's it. I'm as simple as that. 10 out of 10. We move on to Rain, 10 out of 10. This is the greatest chorus on this album. I mean, absolutely best chorus. Just one of those songs a friend and I would play while driving and just sing together, and just it just has that amazing chorus. Great song. Got a little Metallica feel to the riffing, I think, to some degree. Just a headbanger. Armageddon. Now, this is a song I initially skipped, but after coming back to the album for many years, I realized it's just a solid, groovy song. Not the greatest. Hard-hitting, bold guitar shredding. I love the guitar work in general on this whole album. Most technical on the album, including the solo work. 8 out of 10. Then we have One Way Freedom. This is a throwback to the old school Narnia sound. I almost could imagine Christian singing this. Very triumphant, epic feel. You know, it's a rhythmic, it's kind of got that like atmospheric rhythmic feel to it. Very Enter the Gate album, like one of their previous albums, Enter the Gate in 2006. This album, this song felt like it completely came off of that. You know, and then coming down to Miles Away, 9 out of 10, another high energy earworm, you know, sensational opener. I just love the high and low vocals. They're doing like highs over top of lows, which is really cool. And then we get to Behind the Curtain, 8, solid song, cool, memorable chorus. It's a little all over the place, but I do enjoy how it kind of all comes to an end with the gang vocal. So just to sum it all up, this was just an absolute favorite of mine. It was a great change of direction for Narnia, bringing in a lot more speed, a lot more heaviness, a lot more modern. It kind of went hand in hand with another band that Christian was working on called Divine Fire, who was another modern melodic death power metal album. And you could tell this was the change of times or the course of a generation. Yeah, like it just really became like a modern change of direction from their old previous album. So 9 out of 10, one of my favorite in my collection for Narnia. And, you know, after this album, they had put out a couple more, but they weren't able to return to this kind of energy, the synth, modern style that they had here.
All right, you heard it first. A 9 out of 10 from Mike right there. Kyle, I'm going to go next, if that's okay with you. All right, cool. So here we go. I'm going to make this kind of brief because I'm not sure where exactly I fall into the category of metal. I mean, I've seen, I'm aware of the core form of the 80s of metal and stuff like that. But as far as like 2000s metal goes, I'm not nowhere. I should say I'm just not knowledgeable on the subject matter whatsoever. So coming into this, I'm coming into it with a no background on the style or the band in general, needless to say, from this perspective. But I will say I'm very much in the middle with this as an album whole. I'm not sure how to explain this specifically, but I would say that the best way I can explain is it's, I don't want to sound like a cop out here, but it's a little, there were elements I did enjoy, like Mike was saying, like the 80s kind of riffs of like almost like a Black Sabbath riff or here and there, or another type of, bless you, another type of classic metal band, like a Metallica riff here or a Black Sabbath riff there. I got, or even an Iron Maiden feel to it as well. I was, when I was listening to it again before our podcast, before we started recording our podcast, I was really surprised at how, because first off, this is a heavy, heavy, heavy album. I mean, it's a little bit out of my taste of heavy personally. Like it's just, I enjoyed it, but it's when I go back to it in a week or a year's time span, maybe not. I'm not sure. It, depending on the day, probably not. Because this is something that's definitely not geared towards me and my taste and enjoyment of music as a whole. But that's not the diss what I heard though at all. What I will say though is going over to here for a second of the track listing as I pull it up on a different tab. Forgive me. It's hard to. A lot of these for me are either between a 5.5 or a 7 out of 10. So a lot of these, I hate to do this. I don't like doing this. I like going track by track, but for the sake of this album in particular, for me at least, I'm going to be clustering around as a project and as an album. I'm going to say it's about a 6 out of 10 for me personally. It's not my cup of tea, but I didn't hate it at the same time. Now, would I go back to it again? Over time, as my music taste evolves and gets out of the more of the what I know and love as music as a whole, and get to a more of a heavier side, would I go into this? I could see myself going to it down the line, but not immediately. It was very difficult for me to break into an album like this in general. It's hard. Especially when you know you've never heard of the artist before in general. Like there's some albums we've done here on the Career Retrospectives where like I know the artist, but I've never listened to this album by them from 2015 or 2011 or 1995, you know, whatever. But could be whatever. But in this case, I just could not get – it was very difficult for me to get into this style of metal, this heavy, heavy style of metal. This just shows you how little I am in the metal world in general. But I still like my metal, though. I still like my core four of the 80s and stuff like that. But this is just very much I'm very split down the middle here with sitting at about a 6 out of 10 for the whole album. But again, that's not to diss what I heard though. What I heard though, I liked, but would I go back to it? Probably not. It's just not my cup of tea. It's not my thing. So, but I'm going to just kind of cluster them all together by saying I the moment the first song started, I was like, this is a 6 out of 10. The moment the second song started, I was like, this is six out of 10. So, and then I kept going down as the album progressed, and it just progressively got to a 6 throughout the whole thing. But I didn't hate it, though. There's some things that we've reviewed on here that I hate. There's some things that I've reviewed on here that I love. But I will say, for me personally, this is just not my cup of tea. So I'm sitting at about a 6 point, maybe a 6.5 out of 10. It's just not my cup of tea. I mean, I didn't hate it, though. It's just not for me. It's in a project that's not – it's a band in a style of – metal that's just not my taste, truthfully. But yeah, I'm sitting about a 6 out of 10 for this one. It's not bad, but it's just not for me. That's my overall general consensus for this album as for Narnia's Course of a Generation, Mike, not curse. Sorry, I know we've been talking about typos left and right. But yeah, sorry, 6 out of 10 for me for this one. I'm very curious to see what Kyle has to say about this album from the Chronicles of Narnia, the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Mm-hmm. Of course. What do you got, bud?
Yes, the sequel from my favorite book series, The Chronicles of Narnia. going into this, never heard of the band before. So this is my first exposure to them. So I can't speak from any background. So this is an album where I feel like it's not, doesn't make much sense for me to go track by track, because I do feel very similarly towards many of these. I will say right off the bat, there was nothing that went above a 5 for me on here. There's a lot of what I felt was just kind of generic sound sounding songs, are which is pretty standard, but that's really the second half of the album for me. I will say about that intro to Sail Around the World, that intro guitar piece, it's not that long, it's only about 10 seconds or so, is very similar to the intro first track of Vampire Heart by Him, which is the first track off their Dark Light album. Very similar. Just an interesting observation. Like, the first time I heard it, I was like, I've heard this as a first track to an as an opening to an album before. And there it was. But on there, you know, right off the bat, it just kind of, to me, I was like, oh, here we are with the style of vocals. You know me, I really just don't enjoy the style of vocals for me. It just really kills it. It wasn't too bad on some songs. The first two here, Sail Around the World and When the Stars Are Falling, they were just 5s for me, you know. They were just standard. The music behind them, I can find something in most of the songs in this album to pull away that I'm like, all right, I enjoyed that aspect of it, not so much this. So I don't hate the songs. They're fine. I will say that the opening riff on When the Stars Are Falling is killer. It's awesome. I just wish that it led to more in the verses. I'm not a fan of where they went with that. The chorus is all right. But then there are certain songs like Curse of a Generation, which confuses me. Why is it Curse of a Generation here and Chorus of a Generation the album? I don't know. Whatever.
Oh, and I mentioned that JT, I believe they were doing a play on words, like course and like if you say it's a course of a generation, it'll sound like you're saying curse, but you're talking about it's a course, but also maybe a reference to like the curses of a generation that lead them in on a certain direction, which is their course. So it's kind of like play on words, but then to change the name to Curse might be the hint to whoever wonders what, you know, why the name of the album and that song coincide, which is kind of cool though, because it kind of lets you in on what they're thinking rather than just putting course and meaning curse and not mentioning it. It's kind of like, is it course or is it a curse? Could be both. Could be both.
True. That song, though, that and Miles Away, my two least favorites on the album, by far, without a doubt. I mean, Curse of a Generation, it just sounds sloppy overall, and not in a good way. The vocal melodies just really didn't fit the instrumentals on this. Like, the vocal melodies doing this kind of more mid pace to slow vocal rhythm, meanwhile the instruments behind it are kind of going chaotic. They don't really work together for me. Really don't like that one. And then Miles Away to me sounds something like a local dive bar band would be playing. It really didn't have a memorable vocal hook or anything for me to take away from it instrumentally on that. By the time we got to, and Mike, you were wrong, Kings Will Come was, you know, just middle of the road for me. Nothing against it, nothing really for it.
You just changed that. No, I'm just kidding.
I did not. I got it right here, Mike.
Sorry, my eyes can't see that. No, right.
I started to get album fatigue by like right around One Way to Freedom is where it kind of started to set in, where I started to feel like a lot of the songs were just kind of blending together and feeling the same for me. When it's not your style of music, it's kind of hard to judge on this. So I'm not being overly critical. I thought that had some great moments in terms of specifically guitar work on here. Some of the riffs are killer. Like I mentioned, that one in When the Stars Are Falling is my favorite moment of the album in general. It has some great solos throughout. At times it has like these cool galloping parts. I just wish they did more of it. I feel like when it does come to something on this record that I enjoy, it kind of just shows up and then it's gone, and I'm like, give me more of that. I want more of that here and less emphasis on the vocals, which I found very interesting with this band in particular. Generally when it comes to a, you know, I guess you could I guess is technically considered power metal. Generally, it tends to be more focused on the instrumentals. But I felt like this is a very vocal heavy, very vocal forward album, which, you know, maybe being a Christian band, that makes sense because, you know, the lyrics and the message are a big part of it. But I found that to be in the detriment. But, you know, to their credit, you're 100% right, Mike. There's nothing preachy about the lyrics on here, which I very much appreciate from a, you know, Christian rock band, not being very like outward. Like, you can tell if you listen to it, you're like, okay, I understand what they're saying. But it can be interpreted and taken in different ways. Lyrically, I thought it had some pretty solid moments, solid songs. For me, as someone that's just not a fan of this sound, this vocal style, generally this genre too much, it ended up being a 4. I could see if you were a fan of this style of music, Mike, you guessed it right on. If you are a fan of this style, you'll probably like it significantly more than I did. But it's just one of those, it's just not for me.
All right, you heard it first, a 4 out of 10.
Now, I must make a comment. JT says it's too heavy for him, but then he'll listen to a Metallica album from, like, 1987 that literally is heavier than this
heavier
album.
Than this. Yeah, I didn't
yeah think besides Course of a Generation, which is the heaviest song on the album, majority of these songs are pretty... If I were to rate them on a heavy scale, I would say they're... Like they'd be on like a 6.5 of heaviness, where like stuff he's listened to with like Metallica, like, you know, we're talking like Ride the Lightning would be pushing like an 8 at times, you know, and like up in the upper register. But I mean, hey, maybe you've become so familiar with Metallica that maybe you don't think of them in that same light anymore, just because of the multiple listens. And then as you listen to an album, the heaviness of it might become softened by multiple listens. So it might be just a
it honestly might, it all depends on, I have never listened to anything by this band. I've never heard of them until you put it on the wheel. I was like, oh my god. And I'm not, but it's funny you say that, because like we saw Uriah Heep and Saxon together, so that's, which just shows you something right there too, which is kind of funny. So, which was a great show, by the way, just gonna say. We saw him last year, which was great. But and that was a lot of fun. But anyways, I just, you know, yeah. But anyways, yeah. So 4 out of 10 for Kyle and myself is a 6 out of 10 for myself. And Mike, being the king over here, got to say that it's gonna be a 9 out of 10. Is that what you said? I'm sorry.
9 out of 10. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect.
I feel like I've been chilling a lot lately.
You kind of have been.
Like Kyle, you've taken over, man. You've taken a new.
This is supposed to be your role, Mike.
I know. Well, we need to get me back in the game, man.
Well, we might have to do that. Are we spinning the wheel this week, right? Or no? I forgot.
Nope.
All right.
Nope. We have a new album. Doing the discography breakdown next.
Yes, that's right. I knew which band it was. So yes. And for those who've listened to us or watched us for any period of time, we haven't done a career discography breakdown in a very long time, because we've been trying to wrestle about what one to do. And we spun a wheel for that off, not on stream last week, but we did one. The next career discography breakdown we're going to be doing is for AFI. They're from Australia, if I'm not mistaken, right, Kyle?
I have no idea. I didn't think so.
Oh, because they were opening up for Green Day recently in Australia. That's why I wasn't sure.
No.
Oh, all right. I wasn't sure. But anyways, AFI, we reviewed Crash Love, I think it was 2023. So yeah, look for our career discography breakdown next week for all of California. They're from the United States.
Close. It's because it's really close to the
very close.
If you go the other way.
Erase the ocean.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Erase the ocean and drag Australia up a little bit. Very close.
Yeah. I mean,
but they're going to run over New Zealand.
I was questioning myself for a minute there. I was like, hold on, do I not know this?
A near miss, you know,
because you love them too. It was your pick. So Kyle's pick for the career discography breakdown. We have other career discographies that we're going to do as well, but we're going to spin the wheel after we do this one. We got a lot of stuff coming your way down the pipeline. So yeah, Kyle, Q&A podcast is not back because the sun is at daycare, right?
Well, it's not back, but not because of that. Just not back.
Okay, I'm playing with you. No, but anyways, that's going to do it for us, guys. Thanks so much for watching, listening. However you enjoyed us tonight, I want to thank the two gentlemen, as always, for doing this podcast with me. Kyle and Mike, thanks so much for your musical expertise, needless to say. And yeah, but next week, next Monday night, because it's on Tuesday, next Monday, we'll be doing a career discography breakdown of AFI, the band from California that Kyle picked. And we'll be doing that next week. So yeah, we're going to get on it. And Mike's already halfway through four albums, so we're ready to go. I've only listened to one, so I'm kind of slacking right here. I know, I'm terrible. So, but no, it's all right. But that's going to do it for us, guys. Thanks so much for watching and listening. So for all of us here at the Super View Show's Career Retrospectives, stay safe, take care, and be awesome. God and God bless all of you.